Blog Talk Radio.
Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, we come before you, bowing the knees of our heart, Heavenly Father, and beseeching you to please give ear to our prayer. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, we come before you on this day of your Holy Sabbath. And we give praise to you, and we thank you, and we lift your holy name for allowing each and every one of us the blessing and the privilege to see another day. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we ask you to cleanse us all by the blood of Yahushua, of our sins, of our iniquities. We ask you to strengthen us by your Spirit that we may all be obedient to your voice and that we may all be submissive to your will. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Yahushua to send forth your correction when we go astray to the right or to the left. For you have said in your word how you chastise those whom you love. Heavenly Father, you know each and every one of us individually, even as it is brought forth in your Torah, how the very hairs of our head is numbered. Heavenly Father, I pray on behalf of the whole house of Israel, those who are near, those who are far. I pray, Heavenly Father, that above all things, as we gather together, wheresoever we be, nevertheless, gathering together in honor of your holy day, in obedience to your command, I pray that you bring forth your word, Heavenly Father, from the mouths of those whom you have called, whom you have chosen, that we may all receive, Heavenly Father, what we as individuals need, not what we want, Heavenly Father, but what we need to strengthen us that we may become the servant that you desire us to be. Heavenly Father, where we are weak, make us strong. Heavenly Father, where we lack belief, strengthen our faith. That we, Heavenly Father, be not conformed to this world, but that we may all be transformed, Heavenly Father, by the renewing of our hearts, by the renewing of our mind, in the image and the likeness of you and your Son. Heavenly Father, it is through your Son that we pray and we ask these things, because you have said within your word, and you are not a man that you should lie, Heavenly Father, but you said in your word, that whatsoever we shall ask in the name of Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer, we shall receive, if it be according to your divine will. Therefore we pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless each and every one of us with the strength that we need to overcome our individual obstacles, that we may be the people, the men, the women that you desire us to be. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Haturah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, all may be seated. And welcome to Bible 101. I will be speaking briefly until the Moré arrives to bring forth the message that Yahweh has put upon his heart. In the meantime, the topic of today's lesson, and I believe next week's lesson, will be, he will magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Okay? For those who are listening, if you can shoot a text to let me know that you are able to hear me clearly, if there is no technical difficulty, it would be very much appreciated. So until the Moré gets here, after talking to the Most High, he put upon my heart to start in Yeshayahu chapter 42 and verse 1 and read through just to get an idea of the context of why he said what he said. Surah Rabbah to those who have responded. Hallelujah. Okay. So, without further ado, and for those who are listening, I ask that you follow along in your Bibles, as always. And if you have a pen and pad handy, you may want to take some notes as the teacher brings forth the word. So, Yeshayahu or Isaiah chapter 42, starting with verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the owls shall wait for his Torah. Thus saith Elohim Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto Yahweh a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Let them give glory unto Yahweh and declare his praise in the islands. Yahweh shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our mighty ones. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or death as my messenger I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Yahweh's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled, all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we had sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his Torah. Therefore, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Now that was Yeshayahu or Isaiah chapter 42. Interesting enough, quite a few issues came up during the reading of this. You know, within the past few weeks, there have been several questions asked, and within this reading, I found it, I mean, Yahweh know what he's doing. I find it very interesting that a few of those issues were actually dealt with in this verse. One of which that comes to mind was the idea of the prison house. You know, there was a question that was asked some time ago. Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks now, about the spirits that were in the prisons. And for some reason, among Christianity, the teaching is that during the time that the Messiah was 3 days, three nights in the tomb, that he preached to the spirits that were in prison, and for some reason they connected to the time that Noah passed away. Okay? Now here's the question. First of all, before I even say here's the question. Just reading this, and based on what we read, for those who are paying attention, who are in the prison houses? Based on what we read. Let me go back down for a second. Now, it mentioned prison a few times. Let me find the first time that they mentioned. Okay. Now, in verse 7, Isaiah 42, it says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So when you think about being in prison, simply put, you're in bondage. Okay? Now, that can apply to every living being, being in bondage. We understand that the bondage that it's referring to is not necessarily a physical bondage, but rather a mental or a spiritual bondage. The bondage of the mind, okay? Now, a few verses down, let's find this again. Listen to what he said. And this is verse 22. He said, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. And he's talking about Israel, okay? He's talking about Israel. They are all of them, snared in holds, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. So he's talking about Israel and their mentality, spiritually speaking, okay? And everything that was going on. Listen to what he asked. Who among you will give ear to this? See, one of Israel's problems was not hearkening unto the word of the Most High. And when you look up that word, hearken or to hear, matter of fact, the term Shema, if you do a research on that word, it is closely tied to obedience. In several places in the translation, it has been okay, so he says, who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Then he asked this question. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Listen to what he's saying. It's like he's acknowledging the reason why Israel is in this condition. I gave them up to it. Why did he give them up to it? He said, did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned? Think about that. He said, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his Torah. Now, that being said, this is what we got to understand. When it comes to prayer, and I talked to my wife about this briefly before I got to service today. When it comes to prayer, this is what we have to understand. Whatever is going on in our life, there's several factors we need to consider. Whatever is going on with us as individuals, okay, we want prayer to be given for us, okay? Now, one of the things that we as individuals need to do is make sure that we are obeying the voice of the Most High. Because what we don't want to think is this. We don't want to think, well, I'm going to submit a prayer for myself, or I'm going to submit a prayer for someone else. If me or the person I'm submitting a prayer for are not doing what we know, and I'm going to emphasize that, what we know, because everybody doesn't know everything, but what we know to do according to that word, if we're not doing it, then why would you expect the Most High to answer a prayer if you're not even doing your part? Because he said, and going back to something that we discussed, if we obey his voice, he's going to shower us with all these different blessings. But if we don't obey his voice, what's coming next? So when you look at the video that the brother sent out yesterday, which is frustrating, anytime I see something like that, it very
is very frustrating to me. But the reality is, anything that happens to our people, well, the Torah already said these are going to be the things that take place. So to me, Yahweh's word is true. That's what you see. It's in our individual lives. The Most High has allowed some form of affliction to come upon us. He is not going to remove it until you learn whatever lesson he's teaching you. No matter how much prayer you give up, and I'm not saying this to discourage anybody from submitting your prayers today, but Yahweh put another thought on my mind when that text went out today. No, pray for one another. I mean, you should be praying individually. If you want a group to pray, fine, submit your prayer request. But at the same time, make sure what you know to do is right, you're doing. That's the thing. Because anytime something, now when people say submit, when people want to submit prayer requests, a lot of times it's because something's not right. And they want the Most High to remove something or maybe strengthen them. And I would say that more so. If something's going on in your life, rather than asking the Most High to remove that thing, ask the Most High to strengthen you that you can endure whatever it is that you have to go through. You know, because I also believe this. When it comes to the various afflictions that we have to suffer, the only reason Yahweh allows them, and that's the thing we got to keep in mind, we learned that in the story of Job. The only reason Yahweh allows these afflictions, minor afflictions, to affect us is because he wants to get our attention. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. And the only way we can do that, and going back to another analogy, dealing with exercise. If you want to gain muscle, think about what our walk entails. We want to gain spiritual muscle. Okay? If we want to do that, that entails at some point we got to do more repetitions or we have to increase the weight so that you put enough strain on your muscle where the muscle is going to say, oh, we got to be able to handle this next time, so we got to grow. That's what the body does naturally. So what Yahweh has instilled in us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, he understands that in order for us to gain that spiritual muscle, he has to allow certain afflictions to come on us. And what I see in that, what I'm learning from that, is his efficiency. And what I mean by that is this. We may do something outside of his will, okay, knowingly or unknowingly. He may allow that affliction to touch us, okay? It doesn't happen without his permission. Keep that in mind. Hasatan, he had to go. Matter of fact, let's do this. Since we're talking until my brother gets here. Give me a second. Let me get my earpiece back on. Okay. If y'all can hear me, fam, shoot me a text and let me know again because my earpiece cut off and I was talking through the phone. I just want to make sure my earpiece is back on. So somebody shoot me a text again, please. All right, let's do this. Let's go to Job, right? Let's go to Job chapter 1, and let's look at what he said. Let's get to the verse 6. Let's start at verse 6. And listen to the conversation here. It says, now there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Hasatan came also among them. And Yahweh said unto Hasatan, whence comest thou? Then Hasatan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said unto Hasatan, have you considered my servant Job? Did you hear that? You know what that sounds like? That sounds like what we just read in Yeshayahu, that he gave them up for that, to be spoiled and to be robbed. He did the exact same thing here. Why? Once you read through the story of Job, then you learn there was something inside of Job that Yahweh had to bring to the surface. And it was through these afflictions that he allowed to touch him that Job was able to now manifest what was hidden deep inside of him, that illness.
like my brother's been talking about, that mental illness, and in Job's case, the mental illness was self-righteousness. He felt like he didn't deserve these things that was happening to him, but he had to be made aware, who do you think you are? You know, it's just like myself when I was asking that question regarding my son passing away. Well, why my son has to pass away? And the answer that was given to me, well, why not your son? Who do you think you are that you're not supposed to be touched by afflictions that affect every other person in the world? Who do you think you are? And sometimes that's what the Creator wants us to get to. Why? That's the question we want to ask. When we want to submit prayer requests and things like that, why is it that I'm going through whatever it is that I'm going through? Father, teach me what I need to know, that I can be strengthened, that I may grow, that I may develop to become the man or the woman you want me to become. You see? And one more thing, my brother just arrived. I'm not going to hold him up. But one more thing, because I mentioned something that I don't want to just leave that sitting. You know, how Albert do, you just take your mind so many different places. But that's the difficulty of opening up. You know what I mean? Because I gotta cut my thoughts. No, I'm not going to keep, because I want to hear what y'all were getting to you. I mentioned about the spirits preaching to the ones in the prison. And I just wanted to touch on that. That's not what that meant, okay? That, you know, the Messiah went and preached to some spirits or people that was dead. Here's the thought. If these people deserve to be saved that died during the time of Noah, how come he didn't let them on the ark? Why wouldn't he just let them on the ark and save them? It doesn't make sense if you have a vehicle to save somebody and then you got people that's dying in the flood that deserve to be saved, so much so that when Messiah is in that tomb for 3 days, you're going to send him to preach to those particular spirits. How come you just didn't put them on the boat at the same time as Noah and his family? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. That's not the spirit that's in prison that he went to preach to. We, when he was preaching any time to Israel, the lost sheep of Israel, whosoever, we, humanity, we, the ones who are alive, we are those spirits. Scripture said that it's an appointed to man once to die, after that, the judgment. See, if we believe anything other than that, look at the parable that the Messiah gave. The Messiah gave a parable about Lazarus and the rich man, right? In that parable, the rich man died, Lazarus died, Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, the rich man went somewhere else. And wherever they were, there was no room for that rich man to come through and get back to the other side. Why not? Why did he give that parable? He said there's a great gulf separating between the two, depending on what you do in your life. Okay? So no. Just going back to that verse, and it's interesting that we read that particular chapter. And the prison holders, those who are in bondage mentally and emotionally and spiritually, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about humanity on a greater level. Okay? So that being said, I'm turning the service over to my brother. And allow Yahweh to use him and bring forth the message that he gave to him. Lord, I have a for those who respond to let me know that I was online. Y'all just give me a moment, give my brother a moment to get his lesson together. Sure, no problem. Hold on for a second. Now, the problem with this may be it may cut off. If it cuts off,
it may cut off.
But then
I'll just put it like this. Yeah. Make sure everybody can hear.
But you need to be able to hear one of them.
Okay.
If it cuts off, then it's going to stay.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Man, Abba is good. That's number one. They read Isaiah chapter 42, starting from the verse. He was supposed to. And like I say, Abba knows. I don't even worry no more. Abba got this. He know what to do with everybody. It don't make a difference.
Amen.
You know. And sorry I'm late, but before I get started, I do want to share a couple of things because for the last couple of weeks, I've been like driving me nuts with these dreams. I've been had more dreams in the last couple of weeks than I had in a while, and I actually shared one with my brother Harbell, and I'm going to share this one with y'all. I was in, like, a school, and I was meeting with a girl. I was interested in a girl. So at one point, the girl wasn't interested, but after some time, we got interested in one another, and we started kicking it. You know, everything was nice and everything. Then the school gets attacked. So all the students in the school is like in a little panic, a little frenzy. And I'm with the girl. So the school is like pitch black. It's just darkness everywhere. There's no power or nothing like that. And you can hear like the students getting attacked in the school. But the girl had a candle. So she was the only one who had a candle. So I'm with the girl. She had the candle, and we're going to the corner while everybody else is getting attacked. And I told the girl, I said, look, you got to put that candle out, because if you put the candle out, if you leave it lit, they're going to find you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to protect you. But put the candle out, and I got you. So we're in the corner, and she puts the candle out. Well, I'm protecting her. I'm in front of her, and somebody attacks me. And it's like they was taking their knees and me and my stomach, but it wasn't hurting me. I said, okay, my turn. And I started beating them up. You know, I just started going off on them. But I knew in the fighting, I knew I wasn't fighting alone, you know. And at one point in my life, I used to tell Danielle I was the devil and I would release my demons. But I knew they was angels in this dream. I knew they was angels fighting beside me in the darkness. And that's how we were fighting. That's how we were winning, you know. So that's the one dream. Now, this morning, I had a dream about Marcus. So we were outside right here, all the brothers. Everybody was, all the brothers was in this hallway right here, except for Zotkin, So they were there talking. Everybody was talking. I'm like, hey, y'all, what's up? Oh, what's going on? And nobody answered. I said, hey, y'all, what's up? Shalom, what's going on? Why are we here? What's going on? And nobody answered me again. But then I heard Sister Elior's voice. She said, it's a marriage. Marcus is getting married again. I said, Marcus getting married again? I said, to who? She said, he's marrying himself. I said, oh, okay. All right. All right. It was like a weird reaction. But it was a marriage, so. After that, Sister Malta comes out with the utility room, right? And as soon as she comes out, she's wearing all red. She comes out, and then Dion comes out from back where the brothers were talking. Just walk right through. Hey, Shalom, sis. They was like, oh, all right, gotta go. Shalom, hi. And walk down the hall. Then I started walking down behind them. And Zakai was standing there, and he had like a certificate in his hand. It was like an award, and it had Marcus' name on it. He was smiling, doing that little, you know, the guy got like this little half smile where I'm like, cool, the guy smiled. That one, he was doing that smile, and he was just smiling, and they were talking, and I saw Elior and Amin Al, and they were sitting in chairs right beside the guy. And they were talking, you know, was kicking. Everybody was smiling, was laughing, they was having a nice time. So I do get, and I got a sense about that dream, that I ain't seen Marcus in a while, but whatever he's doing, Albert is going to bring him back together. Because when you think of a marriage, you think about a union. And how do you unify with yourself? You know, sometimes your mind is in this area and this area and this area. That's the only way you get separated. When you think about bringing our union, bringing it back together, that's the only way you really unify with yourself. Do your mind, your body, your spirit, all that stuff working together. You know, so I don't know what's going on with the brother, but let's just keep him in prayer. And whatever he's doing, you know, I've got you. And that's the one thing he never can forget. And that might be what I was going to bring back to his mind. But I got you. I'm going to unify you. I got a work to do, you know. And I had that dream this morning. So I just wanted to share that with y'all before I forgot. Because my mind don't remember the way it does all the time. I forget a lot of things now I'm getting older. All right? So, starting with the lesson, get back to the lesson. Told our Rabbi Yakel for standing in for me. When it came to, and we were supposed to read Isaiah chapter 42, and the focus is being he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But the part that our brother emphasized, you know, when we read that thing, it sounds nice. But you get to this part that says, who is the blind but my servant? Right? Who is the one that don't hear but my servant? And one of the things that I'm learning and the Most High is teaching me is that the difficulty with teaching is to take your mind and have somebody to understand your mind. That's a difficulty because the things I've been through are the things I've been through. And even though you might have been through something similar, it might have translated different for you. You know, like big word, resonate. Y'all just don't know. Y'all increased my vocabulary like crazy. I got resonate. I got illusion. I'm using those words, you know. But certain parts of people's lives might resonate with them and they hold on to them a little bit more, even though you've been through something similar. So what the Most High had to do, because remember, that's a heavenly word. And another thing. In Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to start from verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. All right? It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself with that. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh, your mighty one, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our mighty one, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherefore I sent it to. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. All right? Point two. That as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts. So think about his word. His word is really up here. So he has to literally break down his word to a level that we have to understand, right? So the same way that the rain comes down, it don't come down in one big old ocean of rain. It comes down in individual drops, right? And it waters the earth to bring forth seed, right? So it gets broken down up in the heavens to bring forth something good down here. So that's how he had to do his word. He had to literally break his word down for us, right? So it can rebuild us back up to him. All right? Now, all right. I'm going to need a little help with this one. Because this is what Abba showed me. And this is how he did it. I'm going to need y'all, I'm going to give me a couple seconds. This is what he did. I want y'all to think about this.
It was funny because he gave me this thought. I'm going to draw the Olivet up here. It's going to be ugly. Forget it. So you have the ox, the foot, the door, man holding his hands up, print pad, a laptop, a wall, a basket, an arm, a hand, closed hand, open palm, a staff, water, seed, a thorn, an eye, a mouth, a man laying on his side or a road, sun on the horizon, the man's head, teeth, and a symbol. Which one of those stand out? Because one of those letters are different than the rest of them. And why?
And when I say it, everybody's going to be like, yep. And I'll even give y'all a clue. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my way different from your way. What you see, I? My man, why is that?
Well, that one actually, everything else kind of relates to something on earth. That's the only thing that relates.
Hallelujah. And that's it. He literally broke down everything. When he gave his word, he literally, we can touch an ox. We can touch a tank. We can touch our foot. We can touch this. We can literally touch everything on here except for the sun on the horizon, which is time. When you think about time, that's the sun on the horizon. That's the point of the sun, right? It's the gathering of life. But the gathering of life gives us a certain time. The dawn of the new day, the beginning of the day, the end of the day. So everything else, we touch. So he literally broke his word down and made it physical for us, right? So think about it. All these heavenly things. An ox and a bet, the strength of the house. We can physically see how strong an ox is. We physically know what a tent does, you know. We do all these things. So he took his word down and made it relatable for us. But in relating it to us, we have to, okay, now we have to study this ox, okay? We see this ox is doing this, and we see it's doing that. Oh, and we see it's strength. Oh, we see it's the primary beast of burden. Oh, so everything that we need to know about the ox related to the Most High, we learn from the ox. In the same way for all these things. For all of them are physical except for that one, you know? So we still have to pay attention to stuff outside of us, you know, because there's still things outside of us that need to be, that we need to understand. So what do you say? In Romans 7:14, right? He said, things are fine. He says, for we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I'm carnal, so understand, right? So when he gave his word, the spiritual word, now I'm blind. They don't get the spiritual word. They're blind to the spiritual word. So I have to first break it down because my servants are blind. How are we going to be a light to the Gentiles if we can't light ourselves? Before we can teach anybody anything, we like you said, it's something my brother always says, brother. First, seek to understand, then seek to be understood.
Right.
You know, that's one of his favorite sayings. That's him, a nice way of saying shut up. But that's what we have to do. First, we have to. He broke this thing down for us to get.
Right.
It's like it's no different. No different than how we treat a child, you know. No different than how we treat a child. We don't start a child off with one is. A lot of times we give a child a nickname. We call them stinkabutt, man, whatever you want to call it, right? But before they know that name, they're responding to a nickname. And then you add their name in with the nickname. It's just like your name ain't Dada. Your name Hurley or Sean or whatever. But you want them to say Dada to respond to that. And they might get the dad, or mama. It might be a while before they understand who Hurley is or who Karen is or whoever, you know. But they understand who dad is or who mama is because it's easier for them to go dad than it is to go Hurley. You know, it is. I mean, that's how we break that thing down. So it's easier for the Most High to break it down. Okay, what do these people understand about a door? They can go through a door. They can move a door. A door separates. Oh, all right. This is how I'm going to relate my word to them because they flow. You know? And don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem being slow compared to the Most High. See, you got to understand who he's comparing himself to and who he's trying to build himself up to, you know? I got to bring these people up and get them to think like I think, but I can't get it. I just can't
through, and they got it. I'm not going to do that. That'll destroy them. You know, if I lay all this burden on, it's like, you're a teacher. You got your curriculum for the whole year set, right? You know everything that you're going to teach the children for the whole year. Do you just drop everything on them for the whole year at one time? No, because in order for them to get long division, they have to know short division. I don't even know if you teach math. But the point is, before they can learn long division, they have to learn short division. Before they have to learn short division, they have to know subtraction. It's based on building upon. You have to build it up. See, and it's a slow process, you know? So we have to get through these different things that he's showing us. All right? Any questions or comments? All right? Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. And this reads, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." So all these things are made. When he gave this word, he gave us the things that he made, all this stuff for us to understand him. And then he picked stuff like this to relate to us, right? "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, but were neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible mighty one into the image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Right. So think about the changes that was made to the alphabet. When you think of modern Hebrew, do they think of that? They corrupted the word, literally. They changed the word, literally. This was a glory given to us. This is how we are supposed to glorify the Most High. This is how he gave it to us. But over time, it changed. They changed it and they corrupted it. So now, you look at the Aleph, and now it's a yod here, a yod here, and a waw in the middle. When it's not, it was never supposed to be there. It was never supposed to be there. Now you got a nuncial feet, a final forms, and all kinds of, you got all kinds of stuff going on that's in this word now. You understand what I'm saying? So all these things have been changed. But if we get back to this, that's when we'll understand. Because this is what he gave. This is how he gave it. And this is how he wants us to relate to it.
Power off. You're right. It went off.
Yeah.
Power off. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you can hear from there? Oh, okay.
Okay. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. So, it got corrupted and it got changed. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. So, Psalms 119:9. And like I said, I was telling my brother, if you listen to the last couple of teachings, you're going to hear all these verses again, you know, because it's like, for me, it's like this, because we don't talk to each other about lessons, you know, we don't, but if you keep on hearing verses over and over and over again, Abba wants us to pay attention to these things, so where will Psalms 119:9. And this is the bet, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is how we get cleansed, right? This is how the defilement gets out. But we have to go back to the purity of the word. We can't go back. We can't stay in the defiled part of the word. And when I say defiled part, I mean man's interpretation. What this guy thinks and what that guy thinks. Because if it ain't what Yahweh thinks, then it's wrong. If it's not what Yahweh is trying to relate to us, then it's wrong. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who says it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter who says what. If it's not the thought in the mind of the Most High, it's wrong. All right? Psalms 51, verse 10. Have y'all been paying attention? We didn't hear Psalms 51 a couple times this week. You know? I think my brother went to it last night. And it reads, Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. All right? So how did he do that? We have to take heed unto his word. Now, what we're going to talk about, and this is sort of like a transition into next week's lesson also, but we're going to talk about the word create.
Man.
Right?
This is the ugliest dude ever. That's a Resh. Aleph. Right? Now,
how did he get the word? Why do they say the word create? Right? In order to understand that, and this is like a segue into the next week lesson, we have to understand the parent root. Right? Why this word was said create. So the parent root of this word is the bet and the rush. Right? So the bet is the house. Right? We understand that. It can mean in, it can mean house, it also can mean family. Right? The rush is the head. It's the head of man. Right? Or it can mean the whole man also. Right? So, what you have here is called a family of heads, right? Now, according to Jeff Brenner, in the ancient Hebrew lexicon, in this, that, and the other, it was talking about grain, right? So, when you look at grain, the way wheat grows is a whole bunch of heads on wheat. Same thing with corn. Same thing, any of your type of grainier foods come with little heads on top of them, right? So you have a family of heads, right? But then you have the Aleph. Now, the word bara, which means create, what it says is create, but by fattening, right? So when you have a family of heads, and
okay, I felt it swing.
You got a family of heads, right? And they're literally feeding it to the ox, right? Because that's what the ox eats. Ox eats grains, grass, and this, that, and another, right? So you get the word create. But it means by fattening. Something else, and when I say this, let's go to this verse first. See, this is how Abba gets, works his magic. James chapter 1, 13 through 15. This is how he creates within us. all right? It says, James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of mighty one. For mighty one cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now, again, the word is create, and it means by fattening. That terminology is telling us how sin is brought forth or conceived or birthed, like sin literally gets pregnant. Think about a woman when they get pregnant. They fatten.
Right.
Don't they fatten up?
Right?
Okay. So if sin is brought forth that way, don't you think the word will be brought forth within us that way? So you have this idea of grains, right? Yahweh puts the idea within your head, right? And then he expounds upon that idea, making it greater and greater and magnifying and magnifying and magnifying. And then when you're ready to expound, that's when it comes forth, you know? Because the prophets literally had to sit at the foot of the Most High to understand, right? When Moshe spoke with Yahweh, he didn't get everything at that time. You don't think there was a dialogue between the Most High? One prophet, he asks, what do you see? I see a pot of water pointing to the north. Good. And this means, so if he already knew what it meant, he wouldn't have to tell him what it meant. That means destruction is coming from the north. So he had to expound upon this thing that he put within him so he could bring it forth to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right. So it's the same way. Daniel, what do you see? I mean, excuse me, he was talking to the angel. One of them, I don't know if it was Daniel, let me backtrack. Somebody saw those two lamps and didn't know what it meant and asked somebody what, huh? Zechariah, thank you, I didn't know what those two lamps meant. So he had to get information because information was given to him. But he didn't know what it meant. So in order for him to bring forth that information to us, it had to get bigger. His knowledge had to get bigger. It had to be conceived, you know? And that's how Yahweh does with us. He gives a thought. He puts a thought there. And then he takes your mind through that word, right? And then he brings it forth. That's how he does with us. But his thought is way up here. So it's sort of like he breaks off a little piece of that thought, sticks it in. Because he can't give you a whole, he can't give you all of this. You can't contain all of this. So he has to break a little piece. All right. All right, all right, here's another little piece. All right. All right, okay. All right, let's break them up. Let's twist it this time and get a nice little chunk. You know, because as you're able to handle more, he can give you more,
man.
Right? As please say, those he can't trust with a little bit, he can't trust with a lot. You know, paraphrasing. Those who are trustworthy in a little are trustworthy in a lot. Those who are not trustworthy in a little are not trustworthy in a lot. So if you don't, Nicodemus, if you don't understand this earthly stuff, how are you going to understand this heavenly stuff? Because there's bigger slices of the cake. You're only getting a sliver, you know? It's a whole big pie up there, but you're only getting a sliver, and you can't handle the sliver.
Man.
You understand what I'm saying? All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right? So it's like pregnancy. Daughter, I love you. And like I said, this was sort of like a segue. This was sort of like an introduction into next week. And at the same time, I'm glad, you know, Yaka'el was talking, you know, because like I said, for me, I just love the confirmation, you know. I just love it when when Abba lets me know personally, he leading, he God, and this, that, and another. I ain't got no worries about nothing or anything like that. The last verse is Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 33. Exodus 20 through 33. Right? It says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in thy way, in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And you shall serve Yahweh your mighty one, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall neither cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." So that's how he's going to do that thing. All the stuff that we learned over the years, he's going to drive out by the truth of his word. How are we going to cleanse his ways? Our ways. Holding on to the truth of that word and seeing things the way he intended them to be saw, you know? So it's a process, little by little, he says, because he don't want the beasts of the field to multiply. Sometimes we're beastly in our thoughts, and we have our own agendas and stuff that we like. So we don't need all our thoughts jumping up in there after he done cleaned the area, you know? So that's the end of the Torah portion. Any questions or comments? All right. All right. Kokum. Blessed be you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all, Father. We thank you for another Shabbat day. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for this air that we're breathing. We thank you for you just sustaining our life, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to open up your word to us. Continue to open our minds up to you, Father. Continue to just feed us, Father, little by little, in your good, your good, well-doing, Father. You know what it is we need to know. You know what it is, what we need to hear, and in the time we need it, Father. Father, we ask that you put your spirit upon our brother, Ariel, who's going to bring forth your word later today, Father. Open up his mind, open up his heart, Father, to you. Open up his heart to your word, Father. Dwell within him and let him continue to grow us, Father. Father, we ask that you watch over all anybody who's sick, anybody who's ailing, physically, mentally, spiritually, Father, and strengthen them to overcome any obstacle, Father. Make them understand that you are their strength, you are their mighty one, Father, and that their reliance on you is what gets them through any obstacle, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to protect the kids, protect our elders, protect all of Israel, Father. Continue to grow us and continue, just let us be better sons and daughters to you, Father. In Yahushua's name, we praise, give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. All the glory belongs to you. Yeah. Oh, God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh, God. You, oh, God. Belongs to you, oh, God. Yeah, God.
How we desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say ha, yeah, say ha, yeah, say ha,
the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now, come on, sing.
All the glory belongs,
all the glory belongs to you,
to you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you,
oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. You're high in all the earth, because you're worthy.